Continue with me in Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the crowd stood on the beach. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, since they had no root. They withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
February 2nd, 1968, a poem by Wendell Berry. In the dark of the moon, in flying snow, in the dead of winter, war spreading, families dying, the world in danger, I walk the rocky hillside, sowing clover. Sowing seeds in a wintry world. Believing in germination, in gestation and growth in a world of war and death and danger. Seed sowing isn't about knowing. It's about hope. It's about trust. It's about faith. Now, Jesus uses parables not to clarify, but to challenge. Not to give the once and for all, be all and end all answer to a question, but to call those with ears to hear into an experience of making meaning. Into a moment where those who are attentive may glimpse a truth, may taste the sweet and fleeting flavor of God's inbreaking in the midst of the worst of what our world can be. Parables hook us first with the familiar, and then they stretch us into something new. And make no mistake about it, Jesus was shape-shifting the use of this kind of parabolic wisdom in the Mediterranean world. These were not allegories. These were not morality tales. They were unsettling. They were troubling. They were there to shake up the hearer's tenacious perspectives. It is the very way that we think that the parables seep into and break open with a rush of mystery and vision. Now, the parable itself is tangled up with the meaning that it carries. That is, we cannot lift out meaning and say it in a different way. It must stay bundled in this vivid package of something that we can connect to, but also but also something that leaves us baffled. And God willing, something that leaves us changed. Now, parables were one of Jesus' ways of sowing seeds of connection in a world that, when we're honest, was largely unresponsive to him. The parables in Matthew are sandwiched in between stories of Jesus' rejection. On the front end are the stories of his rejection by the Pharisees, the religious officials of his day, and by his own family. And on the other end of the parables are the stories of his rejection by those in his own hometown. What could this mean? These seeds sowing, these people not knowing, the world's rage ongoing, and Jesus' seeds of love and invitation just keep on flowing. Jesus' parables are like deep aquifers that the roots reach for when they catch the scent of water in the loamy soil, in that darkness, the place where the earth knows how to grow things, the place that knows how to feed us in our deepest selves. That is the mysterious place of understanding, that nourishing, gestating wisdom that stands under every one of us, waiting for us to give ourselves to it, waiting for us to sink into its promise. Not all of us trust that ground, that underground, that undergrowth, that beautiful darkness where things learn how to flourish, learn how to connect, learn how to drink in wonder, learn how to unknow things. Those are the mysteries that make us who we are. Those are the mysteries that call us to be who the world needs us to be. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' parabolic wisdom does not speak to us about obvious things. It speaks to us about radical things. Radical as in the deepest, the most rooted things of who God is calling us to be. Now, interestingly enough, the most successful seeds are sometimes the most unwanted. We call them weeds or invasive species. A weed is basically something that we don't want to be growing where it is growing. One region's prized flower can be another region's undesirable menace. Weeds survive in conditions where other plants fail. Weeds are resourceful. They are fertile. They are hardy. They are adaptive. Their seeds are plentiful. They don't need much to get established and to grow fast. Some can even multiply without seeds. Some people believe weeds have brains. Weeds can be a sign of unhealthy soil. They can choke other plants out. Some are poisonous. Some make us itch. The best preventative for weeds is healthy ground. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "A weed is a plant whose virtue has not yet been discovered." The weeds have something to teach us. Wisdom that comes from unlikely places, from the things we prefer to discard, from the things we'd rather not have in our flower beds, in our gardens, in our home place. Weeds are good growers, depending on what kind of growing you value. Now, growth is not necessarily an end in itself. Maybe the sower's parable carries with it more than a message of proliferation. Maybe we need more than ears to hear. Maybe we need eyes to see. Eyes that can see in the dark. To Know the Dark by Wendell Berry. To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. What is it that we fear the most? Is it death? Is it pain? Is it stasis or stagnation, the cessation of growth? Growth is change, and yet change is so often met with fear. When we stop growing, we've stopped being alive. Now, churches of all places know this, and yet churches often chase after growth as if it is about human ingenuity and not about faith in a mysterious seed-sowing God. Church growing has become a growth industry for at least a couple of decades now, capitalizing on the abundance of languishing churches, of all the dying churches, of the seismic shifts in the landscape of religion and American culture. 7 ways to grow church attendance, 8 steps to growing church, 5 ways to growing church numbers. Those are just a few workshops at any place where pastors are going to show up. Everything from how you greet your visitors to specific numerical goals to how many personal invitations you put out there every week to yield optimal growth. Church growers are seed sowers out there dropping seeds everywhere they can, hoping they get about a 10% yield. Going with the mathematical strategy that 10% of 1,000 is a lot better than 10% of 10. But what if the things that really grow beloved community are not about how we spread our seeds? What if they are more about how we keep and till our soil, how we nurture and encourage our own susceptibility to growth, to vitality, to health? After all, who is the sower? Is it us? Or is it God? When things grow, we're not sure exactly what made them grow. We can guess at some things that helped them grow, but in the end, growth is a mystery. Really, it's a miracle. And the how and why are not for us to know. Sowing seeds in this world is an act of hope, yes. Being the seed is an act of trust. Being the seed is the practice of faith. Faith welcomes growth. The growth that finds its pathways in the dark. The darkness that gestates and germinates. Faith welcomes growth even when we can't see exactly where it's taking us or how we could possibly get there. Church growing means letting ourselves be the seeds, trusting that God is the best composter in the universe, taking all of who we are, our gifts, our grief, our power, our fragility, our connections, our fractures, and cultivating a sanctified flowering, life that is new. From an ancient place down deep in the imagination of our Creator. Now, far down in the root system of our faith story, the ancient strong fibers of the primary root, the tap root of who we are, that deepest place that nourishes our root fibers, our branches, the parts of who we are reaching for the light of what could be our future, as far down as we can go in our faith story is a story of destruction. The prophet Isaiah sings to us the poetry of our tradition's hope. He sings to us the song of prophets speaking to our ancestors who felt sometimes like giving up on God. They had lost everything, their place in society, the temple they had equated with God's presence, their community. They had lost their dignity. from this deep, dark place in our faith, this taproot. We are nourished by the vision that God has been offering up to the imaginations of people of faith for generations. It is God's word of redemption in places where we strain to see anything promising. Just listen to Isaiah's words again. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. Instead of the thorn shall come up cypress, instead of the briar shall come up myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Standing under us are the roots of a faith that knows how to grow because it's a faith that knows who to trust. It is a faith that knows the fertility of darkness, of difficulty, of unknowns, of mystery. Darkness Diatribe 2, a poem by Paula Lark. Dark does not equal sad, grievous, scurrilous, perilous, dangerous, depressing, or even lugubrious. Dark is the fertile, vibrant soil of the Delta. It is the gentle protection of that black soil, germinating, fortifying the seed that must soon brave the harsh light of day. It is the womb where my mother sheltered me, the dark room where my dying father rocked me and sang his deep voice into my infant soul. Dark times are when we should gather together and share amazing stories of superhuman efforts. Tragedy can shapeshift into people who don't know each other, talking together, grieving together, grumbling, laughing ruefully, together stepping over death tracks to a new horizon. God sows. God knows. God grows. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of humanity's warring ways, in the midst of all of our fears that everything might be lost, in the confusion of where do we turn, even in the malaise of what's the point anymore, you and I are rooted in this. God has never, God will never give up on the wonders of how a seed biding its time in the deepest darkness can grow. Thanks be to God.